Good morning, everyone. The title of my sermon today is Peace in the Midst of the Storm, and I'll be using a number of different scriptures. In Romans 8, 35 through 39, the Lord tells us, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ." There's a story of a bagpiper playing at a homeless man's funeral, and he tells the story this way. "As a bagpiper, I play many gigs. Recently, I was asked to play at a graveside service for a homeless man. He had no family or friends, though the service was to be at a pauper's cemetery. As I was not familiar with the backwoods, I got lost, and being a typical man, I didn't stop for directions. I finally arrived an hour late and saw the funeral guy had evidently gone, and the hearse was nowhere in sight. There were only diggers and a crew left that was eating lunch. I felt badly, and I apologized to the men for being late. I went to the side of the grave and looked down, and the vault was already in place. I didn't know what else to do, so I started to play. The workers put down their lunches and began to gather around. I played my heart and soul out for this man who had no family or friends. In fact, I played like I've never played before. As I played Amazing Grace, the workers began to weep. They wept, I wept, we all wept together. When I finished, I packed my bagpipes and started for the car. Though my head was hung low, my heart was still full. And I opened the door to my car and I heard one of the workers say, I never seen nothing like this before, and I've been putting in these septic tanks for 20 years. Paraphrasing scripture, laughter doeth good like a medicine, especially in the times we're in. On December 10th, 2019, Wee Guixian, one of the earliest known coronavirus patients, started feeling ill. On December 16th, he was admitted to Wuhan Central Hospital with a flu-like infection into both lungs that was resistant to the anti-flu drugs. The medical staff later learned that he had worked as a wildlife market salesperson that was connected to the outbreak. On December 27th, Wuhan health officials were told that a new coronavirus, a SARS-like virus, was causing the illness. The virus again began to spread around the world like wildfire into a pandemic. As officials began to try to find a vaccine and a cure, cases were now being diagnosed in South Korea. Before they realized the extent of the widespread outbreak in Wuhan, China, and the subsequent lockdown of the city, over 5 million people had already left, many traveling to other countries. On January 21st this year, the first case of coronavirus, or as we call it, COVID-19, was diagnosed by the CDC. The Center for Disease Control. One of the first mitigations was to halt airfare from China, but it was already being transferred by people from other countries that were infected. U.S. medical and government officials scrambled to stop the rampant spread of the virus in the United States. The mitigation efforts included a shutdown of businesses, schools, social events, a lockdown order that included sheltering place and social distancing was effected. New sanitation practices were instituted, and some old tried and true methods were reintroduced. Medical facilities needed major restocking of personal protective gear, such as face masks. And people were encouraged and sometimes ordered to refrain from contact with each other. Church services were stopped, and other forms of preaching and teaching and sharing the gospel were started, such as online services with Facebook and YouTube. We're all well aware of the repercussions of this viral pandemic that has now swept across all 50 states and most of the planet. One of the devastations is the economy. As people aren't able to work, incomes plummeted. Many families are in economic chaos. Our government went into massive debt to try to help families and businesses. Another of the devastations of this pandemic, or that this pandemic has caused, has been widespread fear and depression, even among Christians. At a time when the body of Christ needs to strengthen and build up one another, we are now socially distanced. A major reason for the widespread fear has been the media coverage. It has caused us to take our focus off the gospel, the Word of God, and Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 26:3, the Lord tells us, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." In the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic and this economic crisis, people are desperately searching for hope and peace. Many hearts are hurting. People are asking, is life like this always going to be a challenge? And yes, life is always going to be a challenge. But there is good news. Some days will be much better than others. Why does life have to be so tough? It's because of sin. People are imperfect and basically selfish and proud. They seek to serve themselves rather than God. And because of sin in this world is not Eden. There is sickness and sorrow and death. Being a Christian is not a guarantee of a trouble-free and perfect life. But it is a life full of God's promises. One of the greatest things that we will ever take into our heart or spirit is the fact that we will never be alone. God has promised both in the Old Testament, Joshua 1:5, and the New Testament, Hebrews 13:5, that he would never leave us or forsake us. God also directly addressed this issue of a challenging life in Matthew 6:34. Jesus tells us, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." There you have it. Even Jesus acknowledged that each day will have enough trouble of its own. Acknowledging that there is trouble and that it is simply a fact of life in a fallen world. A fact that is easier to accept when you know God is available 24/7 and that he won't leave us or forsake us. And our communication with him isn't just one way. It's a dynamic communication. It includes questions and concerns that we bring to him, in addition to praise and thanksgiving for our blessings. So yes, life in this imperfect world with imperfect people will always be a challenge. But as long as we remember we can talk directly to God, those challenges will be much easier to handle. And although we might be in challenging and uncertain times, when you're His, God sees and cares about everything in your life. See, God has a grand plan, and He's up to things that are above our ability to understand. But one thing I do understand is the condition of our world and our country. Abortion, same-sex marriage, rampant sexual immorality, idolatry, turning from the truth of His word, those are just a few of the things that we're experiencing today. There are plenty of reasons that He has allowed to this pestilence to be, but as Christians, we need to stay focused on His word and His promises. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 and 10. See, we are in a storm, and yet we must not forget the last part of Romans 8, 39, where the Apostle Paul told us that nothing would ever separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing. I mean, that encourages me exceedingly. When I consider the storms of life, I remember how Jesus handled storms. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 31, Jesus calmed a storm. Scripture tells us, on that day when evening had come, He said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took Him with them in the boat, just as He was. And other boats were with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And He awoke and He rebuked the wind, and He said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the seas obey Him?" See, I don't know what God has planned in this storm, but I do know what He's done in the past. God sheltered the Apostle Paul in the Arabian desert for 3 years. And when he came back, he turned the world upside down with the gospel. He sheltered the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, and the greatest prophetic document of all time was given to us. And that's what we can count on. If this virus stirs fear in you, I want to encourage you to pray for peace. Take a deep breath and pray for God's tangible peace. You see, prayer changes things. It changes us. There's four things we can be doing. Number one is pray. Number two is to be thankful. Even in the midst of this storm, God has blessed us all richly. Number three, check on your neighbors. We might not be able to hug them and go and be with them, but we can sure check on them and use the phone and the internet, email. And number four, meditate on God's word, on His wonderful promises. If fear wakes you up at night, turn on the light, grab your Bible, and turn to Psalm 91. It's one of the most wonderful psalms to pray when life and peace are threatened. The psalmist writes of finding shelter under the wings of God. "He who dwells in the shadow of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You see, the God who sheltered his people in biblical days won't stop now. So come what may, I will trust my God to be my refuge, my peace in the storm, and complete his perfect plan. And so can you.